Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody this morning. And now we are entering the third month of this Coptic year already. Time is flying. I could remember just we were in that first month, or it just seems like just a few weeks ago. So this month, of course, so last month we finished the month and we said we focused on all the great miracles, and every month had Jesus had power over something: power over death, power over the devil, power over paralysis. So now this month is a little bit different. So maybe I'm going to ask you to guess. What would the church do? Like, if you were the church, right, and you're setting a calendar for all its, you know, all its readings, what would the church do now? What would the church focus on? I'll give you a hint. I never ask a question if I don't think you can get the answer, right? So I think you can get the answer. I'll give you a hint. When you're out in the malls, remember malls? You know, remember malls, like a place with four walls and not like Amazon and Click? Remember malls? You go in malls, you probably sense there's something they're preparing for, right? And if you've probably been to any of the grocery stores, you've probably seen those Salvation Army ringing their bells. What would the church prepare for? Christmas. It's like November. I know it feels like past Christmas. It feels like January. But we're still in November. So actually, it actually works out really great with our culture here in the U.S., because, like, we can guess what the church is going to do by just going to a mall, going to our grocery stores. Everything is Christmas, right? Thanksgiving, Christmas, they're all, like, it's one, like, massive holiday. The church is doing the same thing. It's preparing us for Christmas. But we're not even, like, in the month of the Kiak, which is the month right before Christmas or of Christmas. This month, what it's doing is preparing our hearts. So we'll see, obviously, some of the things. This parable is easy to understand because the Lord Jesus explained it himself. He said the sower is God, and the seed is the word of God. So how is this related to Christmas? So now we see a sower sowing seeds, and the seed is the word of God. Isn't that what we call Jesus, the Logos, the word of God? So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to prepare from now. Prepare our hearts. So what kind of heart? And that's the different soils. The ones on the wayside, that's packed down. Do I have a heart that's very, very dense and not allowing anything to come in? Or is it one of rock that, you know, that has no depth and nothing grows because of the rocks? Or thorns that I'm just actually too busy? I'm too busy and distracted, and the cares of the world are basically attacking my heart, and my heart is occupied with that. Or do I have a good soil? So now the church is saying, get ready. We have the whole month of Hatur, and then the end of the month, so we're roughly 8 weeks away. 8 weeks away from celebrating Nativity. So it's saying, get ready from now. This whole month is to be ready for the next month. Obviously, it's way more obvious in the next month. We'll talk about that one when we get there. So this is what we want to focus on. This one verse that we read after Jesus said the parable. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. What's seed? Seed is like just potential, right? I mean, we can look at a seed and we say, big deal, it's a seed. Or we could see potential. Like we can see, like some people will see seeds, some people will see a monstrous oak tree, or an orange tree, or whatever tree you like, a fruit tree, a nut tree, or whatever it is. But inside that seed is potential. Remember our physics days in high school or college, you know, and we talked about kinetic energy and potential energy, right? When is potential energy the greatest, right? Sorry if I'm bringing nightmares back to you. And you probably thought you'd never hear of physics again, depending on your fields. But right on top, right? right on top, if you see that cyclist, like he's got full of potential energy. Does he have any energy? No. He's sitting still. But does he have a lot of potential energy? Absolutely. Just goes a little bit more, and he's going to be flying down that hill. Maybe we could see potential not only in the name, potential energy, which is an actual thing, but being potential in people. Maybe you're an employer and you see somebody and everybody's, this kid doesn't know anything. And you see some things. You see a person, you see maybe the way they are as a character. No, I see potential in this person. I think this person's going to be a great person. I think he's going to be great in our company. I think he's going to be great, you know, in our church service. I think this child could do a lot of things, or this student, or this whatever. Maybe you see potential. That's what seed is. That's what seed is. Seed is potential. It starts off small, and it just hidden underground, right? Like what we said at the very end. But it brings forth fruit. It brings forth fruit. And that's what we want to see from today. So the inspiration came from, unfortunately, it was an unknown author, but I really liked what he said. This is about half of what, just not to make it too long. Just going to read it, and then we're going to focus on one part of it. He said about the seed, the word of God, he said to do this. He said, read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. Remember? Think of always seed and its potential. What the seed, the word of God, can do and its potential. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. And today, we can't take all of this. So we'll take a little bit today, and guess what we're going to talk about next week? If you've been around the Coptic Church for a while, you know in its church calendar, it actually will repeat. It'll do it from the Gospel of St. Matthew. But it's the same parable with the same meaning, the same thing. So the church is telling us it really wants us to prepare. And it really wants us to focus on this, one of the most important parables, the parable of the seed and the sower. We could talk about the sower all day, and we could talk about the seed all day, and we could talk about the hearts all day. That's how, and it's just like 9 verses in a packed parable. We're only focusing on the seed. On the seed. So read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. So your first thing in your app or in your sheet is that first saying. Read it to be wise. Read it to be wise. That's what the psalmist says. That's what the psalmist says. If you want to, again, 2 psalms that you absolutely and positively want to refer to regarding the Word of God, it's easy to remember, Psalm 19 and 119. Right? So 19, 119. Beautiful. And that's in or in the Septuagint versions, 18 and 118. But so depending on your Bibles. 19 and 119. Talk a lot about the Word of God. Let's see what's just one part, because we're focusing on read it to be wise. Look what the psalmist says. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients. Ancients means like the older people, because they highly regarded older people, as we do now. So the ancients, like even the older people, like the ones with gray hair, like the amazing people, I understand more than them, because I keep your precepts. All these from the reading the Word of God. Just reading the word, reading it makes me wiser. The testimony in Psalm 19:7, testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise even the simple. So if you're saying, I don't know, I struggle in making decisions. I struggle in choosing the right things, right? And we're talking about wisdom. We're not telling, you know, like, am I going to choose, you know, like, which lane? I'm stuck in traffic. I want to know which lane is going a little bit faster. you know, or I'm a jewel, and then like, I don't know, I always end up with a person who's paying by pennies and nickels and dimes. Like, make me wise in choosing a better lane. Not just, we're talking about not just like frustrated decisions, good sound decisions in life. Good sound decisions in life. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still. So we're going to look at a couple of things on what he, what both, again, all these are from Psalms and Proverbs. What they tell us to be wiser. Like, read it, how does it make me wiser? So this one said, give instruction to the wise man and he will still be wiser. This one says, where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Listen to advice and accept discipline. At the end, you will be counted among the wise. So what did they say? What did they say? Basically, that first one, that big one, you know, the commandments, the precepts, the testimonies, they're all talk, that, they all almost mean the same thing. They're slightly different words, and they don't mean exactly the same, but we can sum it up in the commandments. You want to be wise? Know the commandments. Know the commandments. I have to go back. The commandments make me wiser. They make you have more understanding, and you understand more than even the ancients. So the commandments, the instructions. What instruction is my Bible giving me? What did I read this morning? What did the Bible tell me to do? Maybe it focused on thoughts. Maybe it focused on encouragement. Maybe it focused on, you know what? This gossiping thing needs to stop. This envy and jealousy, hey, be thankful. What instruction did I get from reading this morning? And the advice. Those who are wise, take advice. Take advice. Never make decisions, especially big decisions. You know, seek good counsel. Seek good counsel, one who is close that could do that. Those are three ways. Those are three ways how, when I'm reading it, I can become wiser. In each one will give a practical example. Give me an example. How does the Bible make me wiser? Let's look at one verse. Let's look at one verse and see, will this make me wiser? This is from the Wisdom of Sirach in chapter 11. It says, do not find fault before you examine a situation. First understand it and make your judgment. Do not answer before you listen, and do not interrupt someone while he is talking. Beautiful sound wisdom. Like, imagine that was my Bible reading today, right? Do not find fault before examining. What do? First, we find fault. First thing we do, you're guilty before proven innocent. You're guilty. Even if we heard about it from maybe not even the best source, our automatic, don't feel bad. Like, maybe I think it's just a reflex. Our automatic, yeah, the person's terrible. That person's wrong. How could he? How could she? How dare he? Do not find fault before examining situation. So if I found fault would do that, that's foolish. I didn't even, like, what was presented to me? One source that may have been biased, and who knows the accuracy of that source? First, understand it. Okay, next time I see it, I understand. I want to understand. Let me just see what the other side is. And guess what? Guess what happens when you see the other side? Is it like the first thing that you typically hear? Anybody that's dealt with like one issue with two? It's just perspective. Maybe it's just the accuracy. We're not calling somebody a liar and somebody's not a liar. Maybe it's a difference of understanding. That's why it says, understand it, then make your judgment. Do not answer before you have listened, right? Do not interrupt somebody while he is talking. While he's talking, right? We can't even wait. Like, as soon as the person's about to breathe, we're right in there. Like, we're just ready to attack. We're like in attack mode. Do not interrupt. Do not interrupt. Let the person breathe. So the person can breathe. Let them finish their point. Do not interrupt. Will that make me wiser? Will that make me a little bit wiser just by reading one thing? Did it make me wiser? This is one verse, two verses, right? One verse, two verse. One little thing I can read and I do it makes me wiser. Number two, believe it to be safe. Believe it to be safe. So safe and salvation, like, have the same root. And if you notice some of the church, in the church liturgies and books, sometimes we'll use safe and sometimes we use salvation. We've kind of switched over more to salvation, but they mean almost the same thing. Look at safe. Free from hurt, injury, danger, or risk. Free from hurt, injury, danger, or risk. Look at salvation. The act of saving or protecting from hurt, from harm, risk, loss, destruction, and all these things. Very similar. So sometimes when we say for the salvation of, we don't necessarily mean like eternal life and salvation. Salvation can also mean our safety. We pray for the salvation of animals, right? For safety for the animals. Doesn't mean, you know, like God, you know, forgive their sins. They're animals. Sorry, I know animal lovers, but like they're animals. They don't no sins, no salvation. Let's see what Scripture says about that. You alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You alone, in Him. In Him is safety. In reading, I get safe. Sometimes we feel scared. There's fear, which was one of the monsters a little while ago that we talked about. Maybe there's uncertainty. Maybe there's worry. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Give me that safety. Give me that salvation. Give me that sense that I need, that no harm, no risk, no loss. He promises He will never leave you or forsake you. There's safety in Him. He promised that be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Promises. I'm not saying we do risky things because God is going to save me. But I'm saying the opposite, that like not in everything, and even in instability in my life, maybe I'm in between jobs, in between cities, in between careers, in between relationships, and there's no safety, there's no salvation. And maybe I'm feeling all these things, I don't feel the safety. Read it to be wiser, but also believe it to be safe. Believe it so I can have this safety. St. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. He believes that we need to put on everything, an armor, or else we're not going to be safe. Put on the whole armor, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's some safety that's in the Word. Paul says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me to safety in His heavenly kingdom. There's safety in there. Safety in Him as well. The last verse in this, salvation of the righteous is the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. There's safety. There's safety here. Like, is that the first place I go for safety, for salvation, for protection? Is it going to Him in the strength in time of trouble? If I do, the Lord will help me, and He will deliver me, and He will deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Believe it to be safe. Example. Everyone will give a small example. Right? Read it to be wiser. Believe it to be safe. So this is my verse. This is my verse. Maybe I read this morning. And I say, the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. You know, maybe your enemies are your enemies. Maybe your enemies are probably like most people in this room, our boss. Just an enemy. The one that calls at 4:59 and says he has something, you know, just a small thing due before you leave for the weekend at 4:59. My enemy. Maybe my enemy is, I have enemies. Maybe my enemy is my thoughts. Maybe my enemies is some of the weaknesses. And I feel, maybe my enemy is, and all our enemy is the devil, but maybe there's strong attacks. Believe it to be safe. So I read this. And I seek for shelter in His Word. In His Word, I seek shelter. The last thing, practice it to be holy. Read it to be wiser. Believe it to be safe. Practice it. Practice it to be holy. Holiness is not only being separated from sin and worldliness, but also being set apart for God's purposes. I practice it to be holy. Three things about this. Three things. How do I practice this to be holy? Number one, understand that he, first of all, holiness comes from him. Doesn't that make sense? We say God is love, right? But we also say holy, holy, holy. Every time we say holy, we don't even say God is holy. We say holy, holy, holy. So if he's holy, it makes sense that to get holiness has to be from him. For it is God who works in you, God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He will work with you and in you to make you holy. Who has saved us, him, who has saved us and called us for the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us through Christ Jesus before time began. Called us to a holy calling. He will make you holy. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver and purge them as gold and silver. He will do it. He will do the work. He will do the work. So practice it to be holy. The good news is a lot of the work is God. What's my work? Don't resist. He's trying. He's trying. He said, I want to come in you and make you holy. Don't resist. Don't resist. The Spirit always is willing to do for us, which is why we must not resist. As we saw, we read the great sermon of St. Stephen. And he says, you guys resist the work of the Holy Spirit. You resist the Spirit. This is why they were about to stone him. Every time you resisted, you didn't allow God to make you holy. So let God do his work. My work, just don't resist. Don't resist. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us a Spirit. Don't resist. Simple. Let him work. It might hurt. It might hurt. Think of an artist, you know, kind of like, you know, with a block and making a beautiful shape. And it's going to be like there's going to be some chiseling. And there's going to be some sanding. And it might hurt. But then there might be a masterpiece, like David. Lastly, for him, don't resist. Actually present. He wants to make you holy, so don't resist what he's doing. But say, you know, accept it. Accept whatever it is. Maybe it's the chiseling. Maybe it's the encouragement. Let him make you holy. St. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies, living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. What's our example? And we'll conclude. So read it to be wiser. And we said we just gave an example of how one of those verses, if I just read it, it just makes me, provides that much wisdom. Believe it to be safe, but also practice it to be holy. So if this is my verse this morning, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Practice this to be holy. Okay, what is he telling me to do? Control your body. Control your body. The first one we talked, control your tongue, right? Isn't that what we talked about or isn't that what we read in St. James chapter 3, the Catholic epistle today? Control your tongue. You want to be holy? Control your tongue. You want to be holy? Learn to control your own body. Control your eyes. Control your ears. Control your thoughts. Practice this to be holy. Practice. Like, yes, there's natural talent and natural ways to be good things, but only in practice, as they say, makes us perfect. Practices to be holy. So we take the seed. This is our potential. The seed is the word of God. The potential he's giving us today by the seed. If we read it, we have the seed of wisdom. If we believe it, we have the seed that now can flourish into a tree of safety. If we practice it, the seed becomes holiness inside me. And glory be to God.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.